Matthew chapter 9, just a few verses here. You can tell by its placement that we'll not go into a lot of verses. But in verse 35, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages. I hear angels' wings turning. You got it now? Matthew 9, 35. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. You know, I look at what Jesus did. Who is our example? Our example is not our pastor. Our example is our Savior. He's the one we're supposed to follow. We have the Word of God to show us what kind of life He lived, what His ministry, what His heart was. And so when we see what He was doing, we should then figure out how we can do that. How can I be part of that? And it says, He went teaching. It says He went to all the cities and all the villages. Now, that doesn't mean we need to abandon our responsibilities and just go wandering through the streets in different towns and states. Now, if you want to do that, you know, and you're able to do that, then great. But, you know, we need to minister where we are, no matter where we are. You're at work, minister there. You're at school, minister there. You're at home, minister there. Wherever we go, we find out a need and we find a way to help. Now, I appreciate, you know, when Brother Rodney found out about Kendra's dad this morning, he said, what can I do to help? And I said, preach this morning. And he said, okay. And I said, no, I'm just kidding. But I appreciate that people are willing to do what needs to be done, whatever it is. Now, he wouldn't necessarily have offered to do that, but I put it out there. He said, okay, I'll do it. And that's the willing heart, the eagerness to serve one another. Jesus taught and preached. You say, but, you know, I'm really not the type to preach or to teach. Well, let me ask you a question, and it's so important for you right now to look. Are you born again? Are you saved? How did you get saved? I can tell you how you got saved, because there's only one way to get saved. You see, I prayed to God and asked forgiveness through Jesus Christ that died for me. That's it. You may word it a little differently than that, but what happened is you realize your need for God and that God made a provision for your need. He sent Jesus. And Jesus died for our sins. He shed His blood on the cross for our sins, to wash our sins away. We don't have to live in sin. We don't have to live in the bondage of sin. We don't have to live in the addiction of sin, because we are free. We have liberty. I always think about this when I think about our liberty, and I've mentioned it, and y'all, some of y'all know that Western, Support Your Local Sheriff, is that the one where they didn't have the jail finished yet, right? And so they brought people into the sheriff's office, and they said, that's the jail, and they said, there's no doors on it yet, and he painted a red line there. And he said, that's the door. Don't come out of that jail. And they'd stayed in there. I remember, I think one of the dads came and said, why are you still in there? He said, I don't want to leave. Well, there's no door. There's nothing keeping you there. Guys, this is what I'm telling you about your sin. There's nothing keeping you there. We're trapped in sin, and we're trapped in the past because of us. But Jesus has taken down the gate. He's taken down the wall. He's opened the door, and He said, be free. Live free. Let that sin be gone from our lives. We don't have to live that way anymore. So we accept Christ as our Savior, and He washes our sins away. And so we're free. He went around preaching. Guys, that's what people need. People need Jesus. They need to know they don't have to live in the sin and the guilt and drowning in the guilt of yesterday. Drowning in their past. I'll tell you what's wrong with people. Our past. But we got to get out of it. Remember, Jesus went, and this is not part of this text, but Jesus got on a ship. He went across the Sea of Galilee to a place called Gadara. He got off the ship. There were two guys that met Him there. And they were both crazy. I don't know if y'all notice this. Crazy people hang out together. So if you got a crazy friend, so the maniac at Gadara, they call him, he was out of his mind. And not only that, but where did he live? Do you remember where he lived? Among the tombs. Among the tombs. What's the tombs? The tombs, the past. That's the graveyard. That's the past. There's nothing out there about tomorrow. That's the past. But people get stuck in the past and they hold on to those memories and they hold on to their regrets and they hold on to their guilt and they can't live, even can't breathe freely. We've got to get out of the past. Got to let it go. And I know it scarred you and I know it's part of your story. But hey, let's finish the story and say, but then I got saved and God made me new. John chapter 3 says you are born again. You know why he said born again? Because it's a new life. You know what baptism is? Baptism is when we bury our past in the waters of baptism and we're risen to walk in newness of life. It's burial. We bury you in the water. That's why we don't sprinkle. We bury you. We want your whole past gone. You say, you bury your past in the waters of baptism, risen to walk in newness of life and service of God. That's what we want to do. So are we ready today to leave the past in the past, to put it behind us, to live in freedom, to live in peace? That's what the world needs. That's what we need. That's what I needed. And I've got it in Christ. Jesus went about teaching and preaching the gospel, and you could do it. You don't have to know the whole Bible. All you have to know is, look, I know what God did for me. That's all you need. So tell me, what did God do for you? Tell me that. And then if I'm interested, I'll get saved. You say, well, you know, yeah, I go to church. That's not interesting. Right? Well, I read the Bible. That's nothing new. But you tell me that I prayed and God changed my life. I want to know that prayer. You tell me that something happened. There was an experience with you and God and you realized your need for God and God changed your life. He changed your outlook. He changed your perception. He changed your way of thinking about the future, the present and the past. That hope, love and forgiveness. Hope for tomorrow, love for today and forgiveness for the past. We need it. But if we don't let go of the past, it's going to be an anchor and it's going to drag you down. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to cause any fights, but how many of y'all ever had your spouse bring up the past? It's bad for a marriage, isn't it? It's bad for relationships. By the way, it's bad for your relationship with God too. Quit bringing up the past with God. He forgave it. Washed it away. He knows what happened, but he loves us anyway. Jesus taught and he preached and he healed. We oppose sin. Our message should be hope, love, and forgiveness. Our message is the gospel. The saddest part of our message is that all have sinned. That includes me. That includes you. And that's why I don't judge your sin. Because I know I'm a sinner. And I know that my sin was just as bad in God's book as yours is. And I needed forgiveness just as much as you do or did. And the same blood paid for mine and yours. How about that? Jesus went through the villages and cities and he taught and he preached the gospel and he healed people. But look at verse 36. Because I think, it, especially now, I don't know if y'all notice it. I notice it. But people are tired. People are weary. Seems like we're, the whole country, just, I mean, at least in where I go, it just seems like people are weary. They're exhausted. You might call it the COVID fatigue, but that's just one part of it. Guys, our country's in such a mess right now. We're so divided over what we should do about everything that you're afraid to say anything because you don't know what the other person believes. I mean, you thought they had good sense, but maybe they don't. You can say what you want, but you don't know. Well, you probably know which side I'm on. But the point is, there's right and there's wrong and there's what you can see, and there's, I don't know how you can't see what's going on in this world. But Jesus saw the multitudes and all the trouble they were in, and you know what the Bible says? He was moved with compassion. He loved them anyway. He loved them even though they didn't agree with. He loved them even though they were wrong. He loved them even though they were stuck in their sin. He loved them even though they were the problem. They were the ones making the problem. He loved them anyway. He had compassion toward them. But here's the bigger thing. You know what the biggest issue was? Is that they had no leadership. They didn't know which way to go. I don't know. You ever felt that way? Man, with all of the conflicting information that's come out in the last 2 years, and you're afraid to say anything because you say it this week and next week it's wrong. I mean, just everything's unreliable. Resources are unreliable. You can't count on the news to tell you the truth. We're in trouble. We already knew that about the weather, man, didn't we? He's probably the one that started it all. It says he saw the multitudes and was moved with compassion because they fainted. That's what I'm talking about. Our society, our culture, our people are weary. Fighting among themselves, addicted to drugs and alcohol and trying to find satisfaction and belonging in every direction. Guys, it's not out there. It's in Him. As long as we keep looking for it in the wrong places, I think Johnny Lee wrote a song about that, didn't he? Some of y'all don't listen to country music, do you? Looking for love in all the wrong places? That's like 40 years ago. I know that. Guys, if we keep looking for God and satisfaction and fulfillment in all those places, I can tell you what's going to happen. You're never going to find it. If it was a treasure hunt, I'd put an X right here and tell you this is it. And I'd tell you to dig for it. Get in the Word. Dig it. Research it. You say, I don't believe that preacher. Fine, then read the Bible. I don't believe that church. Fine, then pray and ask God. But the answer is God. The answer is not in this world. The answer is God. Jesus was moved with compassion. Look, He loved them. He saw that they were in trouble. I was in a meeting the other night, and it seemed like everybody around me was crying. Life's hard, especially some of the lives we've chosen are hard. Some of the things of life we've chosen, they're hard. Makes life difficult. They're weary. They're fainting. Suicide is continuing to be out of control. The rate, it's increasing. We know that 22 veterans a day commit suicide. But with this pandemic and people locked away and isolated, it's even higher than that. I think the rate's doubled. And here's the thing you got to understand. It's doubled among youth. That number is twice what it used to be in the last 2 years. Our kids have no hope. Why? They have no leadership. Mom and dad are busy, if mom and dad are even around. Busy doing everything else. I'll tell you what mom and dad ought to do. Drag them out of bed on Sunday morning and get them to church. Come to church with them. Show them. Be leaders. And come to church and get them a Bible and get them in church and read the Bible and pray with them and let them see your faith and let them see what God's doing in your life, because those children need hope in this world. You survived so far, but you need hope too. I need hope too. Sad what's happening to families today. No leader. Look at what the term he uses here. He says that sheep having no shepherd. Let's look at it. In verse number 36, he said they fainted and they were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. They needed leadership. They needed direction. They needed unity of purpose. They needed hope. Jesus cared. Hey, let me tell you, if Capitol Heights Baptist Church is going to make a difference, the people in this room and the people watching at home are going to make a difference. We're going to have to care. It doesn't seem that hard, but I'll tell you the problem is most of us don't care. Most of us care about ourselves and our family and our needs, and we're just taking care of what we need to do. Look, we need to do that. We have responsibilities. We have priorities. But when you see someone who's cast out, downtrodden, weak, weary, scattered abroad, fainting, help them. I don't mean you got to give them money. I don't mean you got to buy them a meal. Just smile at them. Say a prayer with them. Tell them to put their trust in God. Now, I know the Bible says when you see somebody that's naked, you don't just say, hey, trust in God. You got to give them a coat. And they're hungry. Don't just say, trust in God. Give them a cheeseburger. But I'll bet you everybody in this room can afford a $2 cheeseburger at Wendy's to feed somebody. If we care. Now, I will tell you this. There's people I will not give money to anymore because they've taken advantage too long. And at some point, you're not helping them. You're enabling them. And I'm through doing that with some of those people. Look at what he says. He was moved with compassion because they needed a shepherd. They needed somebody to give them direction. Do we pray for them? Do we give them Jesus? Do we encourage them, support them, comfort them, give them hope? People are defeated. Well, don't you want everybody to have a great church like this to go to? A great church like this that they can come in here and they can see people that have walked where they're walking and they know what they're going through, no matter what it is. Guys, we got people in our church that's been through whatever you're going through. You say, Pastor, you don't understand. You know how many people tell me that God doesn't understand their situation? I say, God can forgive you. No, you don't know the sins I've committed. I said, God does. And he sent Jesus to die for those sins too. Why would God want me? I don't know why, but he's God. Why would God want me? That's the question. But he did. Look at verse 37 and we'll finish up. Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plenteous. The harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. Question is not, do people need Jesus? They do. The question is not, will people get saved if they know the gospel? They will. Maybe not immediately, not every time, but they will. Question is, which of us is going to present the gospel? The question is, which of us is willing to share our testimony and say, hey, God changed my life. I put my trust in him. I know I'm going to heaven. And I'll tell you what, that takes the worry of death away, doesn't it? You're afraid to die because you don't want to go to hell? Don't go to hell. Trust in Christ. Let him wash your sins away. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. We need a few to pray, a few to share their faith, a few to love and show compassion, a few to teach, a few to preach. But he said, pray. Somebody came to me a while back and they said, Pastor, what good is it to pray? I said, well, you know, the funny thing about prayer is it first changes us. You see, we always pray because we want to change God. I say, God, please save Brother Henry. Right? Save Henry. Let me tell you something. God wants Henry saved more than I do. What's God going to do any different to get Henry saved? He's done everything. But I'll tell you what it'll do. If I start being concerned about Henry's salvation, maybe it'll change me. And maybe it'll change my Christian testimony in front of Henry. And maybe it'll change the things I say about Jesus and the church and the Bible and God and life in front of Henry. You see, it'll change me. Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers. Let me tell you what happens when you pray that prayer. God says, how about you? Now look, I'm not saying that we need to ask God to send us to South America or Africa or wherever. Crawfordville. But just to be a good example, an evangelist, a Christian in front of our neighbors and our family and our children and our parents and our brothers and our sisters and our friends and our coworkers. And the person that cuts us off at the red light. And the person that's standing in the way of the groceries we want at the grocery store. All those people we get frustrated with and lose our temper with. But when we pray, God, send forth laborers into the harvest, and God says, I'm sending you. You say, God, then make me what I need to be so I do a good job. That's what it's about. It's about us doing the work that needs to be done. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace and this opportunity to come together in your house. We believe there is a great need. The people are faint and they're scattered and they need leadership and they need direction. And the truth is they're searching for an answer. And the vague answer they know about religion and about Jesus is not the answer they need. They need a specific answer of how to be born again. God, use us to reach others. But first of all, if there's someone in this room that needs you, I pray right now from their heart to your heart, they'll cry out and say, God, I need you. And I put my trust in you as Savior and ask you to forgive my sins. And I give my life to you. God, take our lives and use us. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. You want me to pray with you? What's your burden today? You say, Pastor, I want to get saved. Pray right where you are. But if you want to, I will help you. I'll pray with you. You say, I'm ready to get baptized and bury my past in the waters of baptism. Let's do that. Let's do that. This is your opportunity. Some other burden, some other need, I'll pray with you. You can pray where you are, but reach God this morning. Don't leave empty. Don't leave with that puzzle piece missing. This is your opportunity. All right. Anything forward us, Miss? I am glad you are here today. Now, let me just inform you. I've talked to a couple of people about it. I got a notice this morning that we're supposed to get snow next week. We'll be open on Sunday. Rain, shine, sleet, snow, whatever. I don't know. We're not the post office, but we'll be open. I'll answer that question, you know, unless there's some crazy thing or unless there's a, what do they call them? Stay-at-home order, something like that. If they tell us we can't meet, then I'll still come in and do the online stuff. But anyway, exciting stuff. Sister Mary Lee says she's going south. She's going to the Keys or something. Get away from this snow. Anyway, but that would be exciting. You know how it is. I told you the weatherman lies, so it may not even be true. All right. Anything for dismissed? Be back tonight, 6 o'clock, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, and look forward to seeing you there. Again, thank you for your prayers for our family, and we're encouraged by them, and I know that they appreciate your support. And if there's not going to be a service, as far as we know, there was no plan for one, okay? Let's go to the Lord in dismissal prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Andy to dismiss us, please.